Last week in Joshua, we read these words. I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you did not build, and you dwell in them. You eat of the vineyards and olive groves which you did not plant. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth. Choose this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As the people of Israel stood there on the edge of the promised land, they remembered the 40 years in the desert that it had taken for them to get there. They remembered those long hot days and those freezing cold nights. They remembered their terrible lives as slaves in Egypt. They remembered how God had punished them for making the golden calf. They remembered the times they had tested God and were punished by the sting of the scorpion's bite. They remembered endless days of nothing but manna to eat. They remembered days they swore they were going to die of thirst. They remembered testing God. They had tested God with all of their heart and all of their soul and all of their strength. But in time they learned. They learned about who God is. They learned about the commandments of God. They slowly learned to walk in God's ways. They even learned to serve only God. 40 years it had taken them to become fit for the kingdom, fit for the promised land. 40 long years of training to become worthy of the good and prosperous land that God had waiting for them. A good land, a rich land, a land flowing with milk and honey, as Scripture says. And now the time was right. All of that training had paid off. The land was theirs. And it was time to put those 40 years of training, those 40 years of boot camp behind them. It was time to come home to that good land at last. And Joshua warned them one last time to remember what it took for them to get where they were at this point. He reminded them one last time to serve only God. 40 years of boot camp. Think about that. Who's been through boot camp? I know there's a lot of you guys here. A lot of you have been through boot camp, which is what, about 6 weeks or something? I don't know. Think of 40 years. Could you keep that up for 40 years? Wouldn't you get tired after a while? In the gospel this morning, Matthew introduces us to 10 bridesmaids. Now, I've done large weddings, but I think the biggest I've ever done has maybe 8 bridesmaids, and it was kind of crazy. But 10 bridesmaids, that's a lot of bridesmaids. 5 wise and 5 foolish. But how do you tell them apart? All of them are dressed the same. You know, right? You go to a wedding, don't you dress all your bridesmaids pretty much the same, right? Maybe the maid of honor has a little different. How do you tell them apart? They're all waiting for the groom to come. They're all waiting for the party to begin. All of them are tired out from too much excitement, and all of them fall asleep. But when the groom finally arrives, when the party is ready to begin, only the 5 wise bridesmaids are really ready. Only the 5 wise ones had enough oil. The 5 foolish ones, they're out of luck. They were left out of the party. I mean, sure, they had been selected to be bridesmaids, and yes, they knew the bride and groom. But when it came time to do their job, they just weren't ready. You know, weddings are funny things. How many weddings have you been in? Or gone to in your life? And how many strange customs do you notice at weddings, particularly receptions? Did the groom throw the garter? Was there a bridal dance? That happens in some places. Did you pay a buck for cake and a dance with the bride? Did you throw rice? Or the new thing is bird seed, of course. Did just the father or the mother give the bride away? Or was it both of them? Did they play daddy's little girl? What went on with weddings that you've been to? In the time of Christ, like Linda said, bridesmaids had a very different purpose. Wedding receptions could go on for a very long time, days, in fact. Sometimes a couple. The bridesmaid's job was to tend to the oil lamps that were used to give light for the wedding. If the lamps went out, the reception couldn't go on. It was important to pick bridesmaids who were reliable, who had planned in advance and had enough oil to last in case the reception was delayed or it went on for a long time. I mean, no oil, no light, no party, No party, bad wedding, right? Bridesmaids had to be very carefully picked. And just like the Boy Scouts, they had to be dependable. They had to be prepared for anything. Now, Matthew doesn't introduce us to these 10 bridesmaids to give us a lesson in what it takes to be a good bridesmaid. For Matthew, the image of the wedding feast is his best way of talking about the kingdom of God. That's a common metaphor for Matthew, a wedding feast as the kingdom of God. For Matthew, when God's kingdom comes, it's going to be one heck of a party. It's going to be like a wedding feast that goes on for days and days and days. Everyone happy, everyone dressed in their best clothes, laughing, eating, drinking, dancing. It's going to be the best party that you have ever been to in your whole entire life. It's going to be a million times more fun and exciting than any wedding reception you've ever been to before. That's what God's kingdom is going to be like for Matthew. But, Matthew warns us, we had better be ready for it. We better have our shoes shined. We better have our clothes ironed. We better have our hair done. We had better be ready to eat and drink and dance. We had better be ready for the kingdom of God. We had better be ready for the event of our lives because it could be here before you knew it. Now, as we approach the season of Advent, which is, believe it or not, 2 weeks away from today, the first Sunday of Advent, yes, it's almost Christmas. Start your Christmas shopping if you haven't already. As we approach the season of Advent, the gospel lessons that we hear begin to change in focus, and they point us towards that blessed day when Christ will return, and the kingdom of God will break in on our lives in its fullness. And the gospel message in these last few weeks will carry with it a call to prepare, a call to be ready, to stay awake, and to be on watch for that day. But what does it mean to be ready for the kingdom? How do you get ready for something that's going to be so amazing and so wonderful? What kind of training do you need? For Israel to enter the promised land, they had to learn to trust in God and learn to trust and turn to God for all of their needs. They had to learn to acknowledge that God would provide for their needs. They had to train for 40 long years to be ready. For 40 years, they had to practice, practice, practice until they got it right. And Matthew, in his gospel, reminds us that training for life in the kingdom of God is no easier than laboring 40 years in the desert. You can't do it overnight. Training for the kingdom is a lifelong job. The five foolish bridesmaids found out that it wasn't enough to just know when and where the party was going to be. That didn't get you in the door. You had to be well prepared for the kingdom. It's not enough to just look forward to the kingdom. Just as the five wise bridesmaids had plenty of lamp oil to carry out their job, we need to be prepared to carry out our jobs at the wedding feast. That is in the kingdom of God, and that means practice. Now, I know those words are kind of scary, right? Remember when you were in school, or for those of you who are still in school, think about learning a foreign language. Who likes to conjugate verbs over and over again? Josh, you like to okay. All right, we have one person who likes to conjugate, and Catherine. All right, you know, hey, go for it. Don't you work many hours to learn Spanish or French or whatever the language is you're learning, hour after hour after hour? And wouldn't you expect that if you wanted to go to Spain or France to speak to the people there, that you'd have to put in a lot of study time before you got there? I mean, you wouldn't expect on the airplane over to Paris that you could just pick up a book and learn French in those 6 or 7 hours, right? Well, what about those of you who sing or play a musical instrument? Brian, you play reasonably well at times. Haven't you worked many hours to get where you are with the cello?
As many as you worked on the circuit.
Thank you. All right, fair enough. And Dirk, you've practiced how many hours to play organ or piano? Many hours, right? Matthew gives us good advice when he tells us that we need to practice to be ready for the kingdom of God. And we need to be as ready for the kingdom as we can be. So how do we practice? How do we get ready? Exercises, low-carb diet, homework, marching drills, reading the Bible, coming to church on Sunday, being baptized, receiving communion. How do we get ready for the kingdom of God? Remember those Nike commercials? You know the slogan, the older Nike slogan, or several Nike slogans ago, just do it. That's all it takes. That's all you have to remember to be ready for the kingdom of God. Just do it. Do the things of the kingdom. Do the work of the kingdom, and you'll be as ready as those five wise bridesmaids. Just do the things of the kingdom. Every day, over and over again. So what are the things of the kingdom? What do we have to do every day? How do we practice? In case we don't know, in case we've forgotten, Matthew spells it out for us in his gospel. In chapter 25, the next couple of verses, further down after this parable, he says this, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom that's been prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." One more time. "For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." You know, sometimes we get so caught up in the trivial things. We get so caught up in wondering if we think the right things, or if we believe the right things, or we're saying the right things, and keeping all of the rules and regulations the right way. It's so easy to forget. But all we really need to do is be about our real job, and we fall out of practice. So this morning, Matthew reminds us in plain words, as plain as you're going to get, what it takes to inherit the kingdom. And you know what? It's really pretty easy. It doesn't take a brain surgeon to figure it out. You don't need to have a seminary degree, but thank you for having me with my degree to tell you one more time. How do you become fit for the kingdom? By doing the work of the kingdom here and now, today and every day, over and over again. It's as simple as a phone call or a visit to a shut-in or someone you know is lonely. It's as easy as helping a neighbor with some difficult chore or yard work. It's as quick and simple as a word of thanks or a smile. It's as effortless as a cheerful good morning. It's as priceless as a donation of time or money or food to those less fortunate. You want to be fit for the kingdom? You want to be ready and in really good shape for the kingdom of God? Then be about the work of the kingdom all day, every day. Feed the hungry. Clothe the naked. Give shelter to the homeless. Comfort those who are lonely or sad. Reach out to the unloved. Be about the work of the kingdom. Sounds tough, doesn't it? Feeding the hungry, clothing the naked. Sounds like a lot of work. You bet it is. It can and it will and it should occupy all of your time and all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your strength. But isn't today as good a day as any to begin training for the kingdom? Isn't it the day to begin? Because who wouldn't love to hear those words from Jesus? "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Repeat those words after me. "Come, you blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Who wouldn't love to hear those words? But Matthew reminds us that we need to do something first before we can hear those wonderful words. "For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." You want to be a part of the kingdom of God? Then just do it. Just do it. Be about the work of the kingdom all day, every day, because practice does indeed make perfect. Amen.